The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Today's message is called Anaconda Squeeze. And once again, like all the other messages, the title has nothing to do with the content of today's message. We're just using wrestling terms because we think it's funny. The problem with Remnant is there's no adult leadership. There's me and Jeremiah, and we don't necessarily qualify as adults. Let's pray. God, thanks. Bless us, Father. God, I pray that as we talk about putting on the armor of God today, you will equip us and help us understand, Father, how vital each piece of this equipment is. God, bless us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. So if you haven't seen Nacho Libre, were you raised in a cave by wolves? What? I don't understand that. All right, but here, this is what we're talking about today. That's it. That's Anaconda Squeeze. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so we'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're going to talk about gear today. I was a catcher in Little League. What attracted me to being a catcher in Little League was that I got to wear cool stuff. I got shin guards. I got a chest protector. I got a mask. All right, the mask freaked me out a little bit. I'm kind of claustrophobic even to this day. I don't like elevators. And when I was in college, they tried to put me in the trunk of a car on my birthday because they were kidnapping me for my birthday. And I told them, if you guys shut the lid of this trunk, I will beat up every one of you when I get out. So they left it just kind of cracked open. Harbor Boulevard in the middle of, I don't know, it's probably 1 o'clock in the morning. And I got my hands duct taped together, and I've got a piece of duct tape around my mouth, and I'm wearing a motorcycle helmet because they didn't want me to hurt, because they dragged my head down the stairs. And we stopped at a stoplight, and I lifted the trunk a little bit, and there's this poor old couple in a station wagon next to us, and he goes, "Help me!" Whoosh, they ran, the red light just got on. So I like gear. Firefighter once said, when the alarm goes off, I don't get dressed for where I'm going. I get dressed for what I might face. He doesn't know if he's going to face smoke, flames, collapsing buildings, or trapped people. But he knows one thing, he's got to be prepared before the danger appears. This is a key point today, and we're already to it. You don't wait till it happens to get ready. You get ready first. You don't put on the armor of God after the attack. You put it on before your feet hit the floor. Whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you're just kind of lost in the world, every morning you wake up and before your feet hit the floor, you're in a spiritual battle. Paul doesn't say if the day of evil comes. He says when. When the day of evil comes. Spiritual battles aren't occasional, they're daily. Temptation whispers in morning traffic, especially for me, because I'm not the world's most patient guy. And my youth group in El Cajon gave me, one year for Christmas, this little thing, and I love it. I wish I still had it. And it had three things on it. It had a ray gun, and it had a bomb, and it had a thing called death ray. And what it is, you're supposed to use it in traffic. So I would be next to a car in traffic, and I would aim the death ray at him. Sadly, it never really killed anybody. Maybe doubt creeps in during a difficult conversation. Fear shoots flaming arrows at 2 a.m. and won't let you sleep. So we're going to put on the armor of God today. First thing we're going to do is the belt of truth. The belt of truth holds everything together. Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Now Paul starts here because the belt is what held everything else together. In Roman armor, the belt wasn't decorative. It's like, oh, it's a Gucci belt. No, it wasn't that at all. It held the sword. It supported the breastplate. It kept the soldier's tunic from tripping him. So they have they're wearing dresses. Okay, so they would take the back of their dress and pull it forward like a big diaper and then belt it with the belt. Now, until you put the belt on, it's probably not real scary seeing a guy wearing a diaper. But then he puts the belt on, and he gets the armor, and then the sword comes, and the sword is really, that's what's really scary. Without the belt, everything else fell apart. Truth does the same thing for us. So for every one of these today, I'm going to give you a how do we do this. How do we do this? Start your morning by declaring God's truth over your life. Speak the scriptures aloud. First of all, I'm loved. Romans 8:38 and 39. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When those doubts start creeping in, when you start feeling attacked, first thing you think, I'm loved. And I'm loved by somebody who knows me better than anybody else. If you knew everything about me, you wouldn't love me. Of that, I have no doubt. In fact, just enough of what I said today, you might always say, I don't know about this guy. I mean, he wanted to kill people in traffic. Yes, I do. On a regular basis. I know, you're all holy. Well, Jerry, I would never think that. Then you never drive a car. I get frustrated in traffic even when I'm not driving. If I was in a limo being chauffeured by some guy and we got stuck in traffic, I would start yelling at the people in the cars next to us. Get up my death ray. Next one, I'm forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from just about everything. No, able to cleanse us from some things that we've done. No, all. All wickedness. When you start feeling like you've done something so bad that that God can't forgive you, think about it. God is able to cleanse us from all wickedness. Now there's an unforgivable sin, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Trust me, if you sin and you feel bad about the Holy Spirit's talking to you, you don't have to worry about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because once you cross that line, you're done. Okay? I'm forgiven. You can talk all the trash about me you want. You can talk about how, oh, he shouldn't be this, or you shouldn't be this. And all you have to say is, no, I'm forgiven. That really should have gotten more of a response out of you, but it's okay. You can say amen, or you can say, oh, good job, Jerry. No. Come up and give me high fives in the middle of the message. Third thing, I'm victorious through Christ. Romans 8:37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory. You know who had an overwhelming victory yesterday? Seattle. San Francisco scored 6 points. That's only 6 points more than I scored, and I didn't play. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. It is funny, though. No, okay. When lies whisper you're not enough, truth says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. When the culture shifts around you, truth keeps you grounded. When temptation comes, truth exposes the trap. Truth isn't just something you believe, it's something you wear. So every day, first thing you do, God, I want to put on the belt of truth. I want to wear your truth today. I want to hold everything in my life together. Secondly, the body armor of righteousness. Body armor of righteousness guards your heart. Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The breastplate covered all the vital organs. I don't know how much you know about anatomy, but you really want to make sure that your heart doesn't get pierced by an arrow. Or your spleen, or your lungs, or any of the stuff that's in here. And there's a lot of stuff in here. I've seen it many times. I haven't seen mine, thankfully. But I've seen the ones of other people. They were always dead, but I've seen them. Your pastor's had a weird life. How many other pastors in churches this morning are wearing a Bears jersey and have seen autopsies? Spiritually, the breastplate protects your heart, your emotions, your desires, and your conscience. This is not about being perfect. Understand, it's not about being perfect. It's about walking in obedience and integrity. I was unpacking some boxes this week at my house, and I found one that I had in my old man cave, and it said, real men walk in integrity. And that's going up in the house somewhere. When you live compromised, you leave your heart exposed. When you live God's way, the enemy's arrows bounce off. There were times at the sheriff's office where I had to wear a bulletproof vest. Now, I didn't put it on because I expected to get shot. If you put it on expecting to get shot, you probably shouldn't go where you're going. But I put it on because I might. I wasn't expecting to, but I might. Righteousness works the same way. Righteousness, being right with God. That's what we're talking about here. Righteousness just means being right with God. When you balance your checkbook, it's righteous. That's why the hippies used to say, righteous, dude. Or hot rod guys, that car is righteous. It's perfect. It's exactly right. Righteousness guards your heart from spiritual bullets, guilt, shame, compromise, bitterness. Notice that we're not wearing our own good deeds as armor. Our good deeds have holes in them. We wear the righteousness of Christ. When your conscience of the world attacks your worth, the breastplate reminds you that you're already accepted and loved. So how do we do this? Here we go. Buckle up. When someone wrongs you, righteousness helps you respond with grace instead of revenge. They would turn me down just a hair. Somebody makes you mad at work, and instead of plotting their death on the freeway, you respond with grace. When's the last time somebody was really ugly to you and you said, you know what? God bless you. Because it's so hard. There's a part of you who wants to say, listen here, you booger-eating moron, let me tell you something. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to respond with grace. When temptation knocks, righteousness strengthens your no. Hello? Again, I'm sure none of you ever get tempted because you're perfect and, you know. When you get tempted, righteousness, God's righteousness that you put on every day as a guard for your heart, it strengthens your no. When the enemy accuses you, righteousness reminds you that Christ already paid the price. The devil comes to you and says, you know what? You deserve to go to hell. You know what your answer is? You know what? You are absolutely right. But. It's always the but that gets him. But Jesus paid my price. Jesus bore all my cost. What do I deserve? Death, hell, and the grave. Nothing else. But because I serve God, because Jesus is my Savior, I'm given love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and eternal life in heaven. Wow. Take that, devil. Third thing, we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. It helps us walk steady in a shaky world. Ephesians 6:15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. Roman soldiers wore sandals that had spikes on the bottom of them, kind of like baseball and football players have cleats. Because when you're in a sword fight for your life, the last thing you want is to slip. Whoops. Because you'll die when you're on the ground. Imagine hiking up a steep, rocky trail in flip-flops. First of all, I can't imagine me personally walking up a steep, rocky trail because I'm old and I don't like that. I definitely can't imagine doing it in flip-flops. I won't even ride my bicycle, and it's an e-bike. I won't even ride my bicycle with flip-flops on because I know me, I'll trip and fall. And I'm at the age where things don't heal like they used to, and I will lay there on the ground and cry like a baby. Now imagine those flip-flops are too big for you. You're slipping all over the place. Do you really want to keep doing that walk? No. Scary. Every step is a risk, but with the right footwear, you stand firm. Peace gives you grip in a rocky world. This is a rocky world we live in. There's a lot of obstacles in our way. There's a lot of rough terrain. How do we do this? First of all, begin each day reminding yourself of the peace you have with God through Jesus. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, that's righteousness, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Why do we have peace? Because of the righteousness of God, because of what Jesus has done for us. Look for opportunities to share that peace. A kind word, forgiveness offered, listening to somebody who's hurting. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Your job, one of your jobs as a Christian, is to be open to hear what the Holy Spirit says. You're walking in your work, you're somewhere, and the Holy Spirit says, you know what? Go say hi to them. Many of you heard the story already. I told you, I don't have any new stories. I was a youth pastor in Beaumont, and I went to Alpha Beta. No, it was Stater Brothers. And this lady was by the fish sticks, and she's crying. Now, normally, you don't cry by fish sticks. Never seen fish sticks like that. Oh, no. I don't know what's going on with that lady. I don't know, maybe the Gorton fisherman looks like her dad. I don't know. Something was wrong with her. She was crying. And so I really felt in my heart I needed to pray with her. I'm not praying by the fish sticks. I don't think that's right. So I start bargaining with God. And I know none of you ever have, but I have bargained with God. God, I'll give her my card. I was a youth pastor. I had a card. Ooh. I said, I'll pray with her in the parking lot. Like I'll stalk her when she goes out in the parking lot. I'll follow her. Here you go, you ballin' baby. Here you go. But in the meantime, she's gone but from the fish sticks. So I went down the next aisle. She was there on the next aisle, still crying. Next aisle, still crying. It was like God was saying, hey, stupid, do what I told you to do. Finally got her by the Wonder Bread, my hand to heaven. And I said, ma'am, I'm youth pastor at a local church. Can I pray with you? And I'm very quiet, by the way. She says, yes, I'd like that. So I pray with her, really quiet prayer. Lord, bless this lady. I don't know what's wrong with her. Please, you know, bless her goldfish. I don't know what's going on, God, but please help her. Amen. As soon as I finished the prayer, she dropped her knees, raised her hands in the air, started weeping. Thank you, thank you. That woman is a missionary in Fiji now. No, she's not. I don't know where she is. I don't know where she is. I never saw her again. I gave her my card. She didn't call me. I don't know where she is. I don't know. A great story, though, isn't it? Pastor, you lied in church. Yeah. Suck it up, buttercup. You'll live. When's the last time you built somebody up? And I don't mean because you wanted something from them. Teenagers walking into the kitchen telling your mom she's pretty because you want money is not the same thing. Husbands, you know where I'm going with this. Just that's not the same thing. When anxiety attacks, plant your feet in the gospel. Romans 8:39, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not going anywhere. He's here. We put our feet in trust in Him, the gospel of peace. God says, okay, we got this. When chaos hits your home, peace keeps you steady. When anxiety rises, peace anchors your mind. When conflict comes, peace helps you walk into the room calm, not reactive. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God in it. And if you don't take anything else home from today, take this. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's knowing that God is there with you in it. Feel me? And you know, the pastors on TV, well, if you follow Christ, you'll never have any more troubles. Or if you have trouble with sin in your life. My favorite Greek word for that, baloney. I don't really think it's a Greek, but close enough. It's not true. If that's really the case, then how was Jesus, the Son of God, beaten, scourged, put on a cross, and killed? You think he had sin in his life? If he had sin in his life, none of what we're doing right here makes any difference. No. Look, if you're a Christian, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have times where you need peace, God's peace. Put it on. Now the shield of faith. Shield of faith blocks the incoming fire. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Fiery arrows. If there are ever two words that you don't want in proximity to you, fiery and arrows, that's the two. Jerry, we're going to shoot fiery arrows. No, you lost me at fiery and didn't get any closer with arrows. Because they're pointy, and I'm pretty sure they hurt. Now, what are the flaming arrows of your life? Well, sudden doubts, fears, temptations, accusations, intrusive thoughts, unexpected bad news, all of those just come at us. You need a shield to knock those suckers away. Faith isn't a feeling. It's a shield you take up. It's the active choice to trust God's character when the circumstances look bleak. God, I know I'm having a rough time right now, and I'm not crazy about it. But, God, I know you're here. God, I trust you to see me through this. I trust you to block the fiery arrows that are coming my way. So how do we do this? Oh, I missed that. Faith doesn't prevent arrows, it extinguishes them before they can burn. Firefighters carry shields not because they expect fire to behave, they know it won't. Flames leap, sparks fly, and danger comes from unexpected angles. So faith doesn't prevent the arrows, it extinguishes them before they can burn you. Are you still going to get shot at? Yes. But I got a shield. They would cover them with pitch. And so when the fiery arrow would hit the shield, the pitch would extinguish the flames. How do we do this? When fear says this will never work, faith says, with God, all things are possible. Oops. All things are possible. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He designed our bodies for life. I'll never forget being in school and they were showing us, and it wasn't Christian school, it was elementary school, public school. They were showing us something about blood cells and how it goes through. And so your little red blood cells almost look like a lifesaver with the middle filled in. It's dished. And they said, if the blood cells had been round, I always thought they were round. Didn't you think they were round? Blood cells, round. Or square. If you got square ones, that would hurt. But they're dished so that when they hit each other, they slide past. If they'd been any other shape, it wouldn't have worked. And God designed our body with that attention to detail. And don't talk to me about evolution, how we came from fish. You really want to look into this look at a read a book called Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe. Incredible book. Anytime evolution can't explain something, they call it a black box. There's no mechanism in nature to get from a bird eye or a lizard eye to a human eye. There's no way for those to jump, because evolution tells you that everything has to get better. Well, at some point, they're put together so differently that a whole bunch of people are going to be blind before they get any better. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? There's all of these things in nature, and they just say, well, we don't understand how it happened. We know it happened. You know what that sounds like to me? Faith. I'd much rather believe that an intelligent God put everything together. I told a kid one time, so you're telling me that all of this stuff just assembled itself by itself? Yeah, that's the way it happened. You know, the cells got together and the nucleotides and the proteins and they bonded together and then they made a lizard and then they made a fish. And all right, so I'm going to buy a bunch of junk parts for a 1969 Plymouth Roadrunner. I'm going to throw them in my backyard and I'm going to come back in a million years and it's going to be a fully formed Cherry 1969 Roadrunner. Oh, that's stupid. No, I need somebody with mechanical skills greater than mine to put that together. Faith says it'll never work. Or the fear says it'll never work. God says, hey, I can do anything. I could build a 69 Roadrunner if I wanted. Lord, please. Really like to have one. When discouragement hits, faith says God is still working. You know, we're kind of like, you ever tell your little kid, you know, maybe we'll go get ice cream later. Okay, I would like ice cream now. No, maybe we'll go later. No, I would like ice cream now. Okay, maybe, no, you said, no, I would like ice cream now. Chocolate, please. And every now and then, we treat God like that. We pray and we say, okay, God, I know you're going to work. And then we look and say, okay, God, I would like ice cream now. And God says, well, you know, let's give it up. No, I would like ice cream now. Let me tell you something. God's not like some bellhop in heaven. He's not jumping just because you said so. He knows what's best for you. He knows how to handle the things that are hurting in your life, how to handle the hurdles and obstacles you're going to face. You may not be ready for how he wants. You may not be ready for how he wants to fix this. There have been things in my life that I asked God for that he didn't give me until later, and I thought about it later. And I thought, you know what? If he had done it when I asked, I'd have messed it up. I wasn't emotionally or spiritually or mentally ready. Faith doesn't remove the fire. It keeps it from consuming you. The helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. Ephesians 6:17, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet guards the head, the control center. Most of our battles are won or lost in our mind. Hello? Most of the battles we win or lose start in our mind. The helmet protects our thoughts from despair. It reminds us of the end of the story. What's the end of the story? I'm saved, I'm secure, and I'm destined for victory. The Garmin Key used to have a great song, "We Are Destined to Win." Destined to win. I've read the end of the book, by the way. We win. When your mind starts to spiral into what ifs, pull that helmet down tight. The helmet of salvation. Football helmets don't stop you from getting hit. Okay? If you watch professional football, Vince Lombardi once said that people say that football is a contact sport. He said, no, ballroom dancing is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. You got a 320-pound behemoth coming this way, and you got a 150-pound running back coming this way, and they meet in the middle, that's going to make a noise. So you're going to get hit. The helmet doesn't keep you from getting hit. It keeps the hit from stopping you. When I was first playing football, we had those ones that were just like a web in top, on the top. And if you got hit hard enough, you were looking for your mama. To anybody, are you my mama? No, no. Now they're all, I had a water helmet for a while, and I would hit somebody, my heel would squish. That was kind of weird. Now these things have sensors in them, and they've got all kinds of stuff. Concussions are way down. I got knocked out one time in a game. Took a knee right in the helmet, or right in the forehead, and I was just walking around, and I got to the sideline, and I laid down on the bench, and they let me sleep on the bench, and I played second half. Today I'd be in concussion protocol. You know, how many fingers am I holding up? Two. Well, he couldn't have done that before anyway. He's not that smart. The helmet of salvation keeps the hits from taking us out of the game. How do we do this? When your mind spirals, salvation reminds you who you belong to. Who do you belong to? Oh, I don't know, just the God of creation, you know. Oh, him. Really? Are we that nonchalant about it? No. Who do I belong to? I belong to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the salvation of my soul, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I belong to the one who will take me to heaven because I've put my faith in him. Don't sell that short. Well, I belong to God. Come on. Put some heart in it. When the enemy says you're a failure, salvation tells us you're redeemed. I've walked this the last year and a half or so, telling me I'm a failure. And I'll just be honest with you. It knocked the feet out from underneath me. Until I learned this. See, it's not, my salvation is not based on my perfection. It's based on God's perfection. The enemy says you're a failure, but salvation says, yeah, but we made up the difference. He's good with God. When doubt attacks, salvation says you are secure in Christ. People are mine, God says. No one can take them from me. Protected mind leads to a victorious life. So when you start feeling all of this stuff rushing at you, pull that helmet of salvation down tight. Buckle up. Finally, sword of the Spirit. Fight back. The great message, and it's right before Tedeschi's song, Make War, which I love. I should have played that today. Love that song. Where the pastor, the voiceover says, I hear so many people whining about their problems. Oh, this and that. Oh. He said, murmur. So many complaints. No, make war. It's time for us to make some war around this place. It's time for us to quit laying back and letting the devil kick us around the block. Hey, he's got nothing on me. I'm a child of God. I'm wearing armor. I'm suited and booted, man. Let's go. You think you can defeat me? No. No. I got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every piece of armor we've talked about so far is defensive. Extinguishing fiery darts, blah, 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 blah. This is a start doing damage. Don't let the devil convince you that all you have to do is stand there and take it. What's my favorite Greek word? Baloney. No. No. You step up this way, you're getting the sword of the Spirit, baby. The devil wants to come after me? Go ahead. What's that line with that Eddie Murphy movie? Come on, step over. It's a short walk back. Sure, walk over. You're going to limp back, but it's a sure walk over. Hey, we can be bold. Let's make war. I'm tired of Christians thinking they're a bunch of lily-livered cowards, and they're just, oh, the devil's been after me this week. Kick his tail end. I didn't want to say tail end. I didn't want to say the cuss word, but I wanted to spin it stronger than that. The devil comes at you, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. I love the story. The devil comes into the church. He says, I'm the devil. And half the congregation leaves. He comes to another one. There's like four or five people left. I'm the devil and I'm going to curse your soul. Everybody leaves as one old man. Devil gets his face. I'm the devil. Aren't you afraid? Guy says, no, I've been married to your sister for years. We don't have to be afraid. We're victorious. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is your offensive weapon. Here's what I want you to remember. When Satan tempted Jesus, he didn't argue with him. Satan says, oh, I'll give you all this. Jesus said, well, no, you won't. I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say. He didn't negotiate. He didn't argue. He didn't panic. What did he do? He said, it's written. It's written. The devil says, hey, you know, I know you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. 40 days on a fast. They call it a fast, but it's pretty darn slow. He says, the devil comes and says, all right, you know, I know you're hungry. Turn all these rocks into bread. What'd Jesus say? Well, you know, that'd be good, but I don't know if I want pumpernickel or rye. No. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone. Every time Satan tempted him, Jesus brought back the word. He used Scripture as a sword. When I think about this whole thing, I think about Satan kind of prancing over to Jesus. He's weak, he's tired, he's hungry. And he comes over all hopping and bopping. Hey, Jesus. Slice. Ow. That hurted. Do this. Jesus says, no, slice. Finally, after the third or fourth one, Satan's walking around. He's trying to hold his intestines in. Hey, the sword is an offensive weapon. You don't wear it to look good. You wear it to go to battle. You wear it to use it. So how do we do this? When temptation comes, speak the word. James 4:7, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? Because he knows that sword's really sharp. When fear rises, speak the word. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Man, you should have that one on speed dial in your heart. God is my refuge and strength, always ready to help me in times of trouble. Slice. Like one of those gladiator movies where the guy comes across and slash. I think I've watched too many movies. When discouragement hits, speak the word. Romans 8:37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Don't be afraid to personalize this, by the way. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is mine through Christ who loved me. Pray scripture back to God. God, I'm facing some tough stuff right now, and you said I would have overwhelming victory in Romans 8:37. God, I'm putting my trust and my faith in you that you will bring me overwhelming victory. Oh, and by the way, Satan, slash. I love the story. One of the kings in the Old Testament, he comes for Elijah, I think it was, and it says he came in peace, and Elijah chopped him up into little bits. And the joke is he came in peace and he left in pieces. Satan comes into your life, he needs to leave chopped up like spam. The word doesn't just comfort you. It cuts the enemy's lies to pieces. A soldier doesn't choose which pieces of armor to wear. He wears all of it because he doesn't know which attack is coming. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Not some of it, not most of it, not occasionally, daily. Because the battles you are in are daily. Every day we need to put on the armor of God. The ring I have on my hand says, is all about putting on the armor of God. The battle is daily, but so is God's strength. Here's the thing. The armor isn't automatic. It's not like Batman. You know, remember the old Batman TV series? He would open the little head, you do the head, and they walk into the door, and it was said, to Batcave. And he and Robin would have regular clothes on. They'd slide down, they get to the bottom, and they're all of a sudden they're bat gear. Da-da-da. No, it's a little more deliberate for us. We've got to put on the armor piece by piece. God, this morning, I want to wear the belt of truth. God, I want to have the body armor of righteousness. God, I want to have the helmet of salvation. And above all, God, I want to have the sword. Put it on. Daily, intentionally. Like getting dressed, it becomes a habit. Some days you'll feel strong, some days you'll feel weak. But the power is not in our strength, it's in God's. It's in God's provision for us. If you think that you're doing battle just on your own strength, you're going to die. You are. Sorry. Life is hard, then you die. That's it. You're toast. You stand as much chance as the 49ers did last night. I know, brother. I took another shot at you. But you got to love me or you can't go to heaven, so. There's a lot of power up here, you know? When you wear the armor, truth holds you together. Righteousness guards your heart. Peace steadies your steps. Faith shields you. Salvation protects your mind, and the word empowers you to fight. I like that. See, it's one thing for you to just take shots at me. No one to shoot back. We used to have a running joke with some of the firemen that we shared a place with, and I tell them, I said, you firemen are nuts. Because things catch fire and people run. They say, well, you're nuts, God. See, if somebody's in the alley with a gun, you run toward him. I said, yeah, but I can shoot him, he'll die. You guys just squirt water and hope. They never thought that was funny. Hey, I'm not just hoping. I'm knowing. I'm not hoping that God's going to take care of me when I use his word. I'm not hoping that the helmet of salvation is going to protect me. I'm not hoping in any of this stuff. I'm believing in this. And you've got to believe. Knowing is not the same as believing. I know and believe. A little boy went camping with his grandpa. They were making s'mores. And his marshmallow, kid's not real smart, his marshmallow fell off in the fire. And a kid reached into the fire to get the marshmallow. And the grandpa told him, no, that'll hurt. So what does the kid know? The kid knows now, grandpa said, that'll hurt. Grandpa goes back to the truck to get more marshmallows, and the kid thinks, well, it's still there. So he reaches in, and he grabs it, and he pulls out his hand, and he's got little fires on the end of each hand because the marshmallow is burning on his hand. The kid went from knowing to knowing and believing. Knowing this stuff won't do you any good until you believe it, until it sinks into your heart and you know in your knower, my grandpa used to say. You are not walking into battle unprepared. You're walking in fully equipped, fully covered, and fully victorious through Christ. Hey, Satan comes at you, that game is over before it started. Folks, it's time for us to start doing battle. It's time for us to make war, spiritual war. I'm tired of Satan taking the lives of people that I love. I'm tired of seeing sin overcome people and leave them by the wayside. I'm tired of watching this world go to hell in a handbasket. It's time for us to make war. And it starts with each one of us putting on the gear, stepping out of the battlefield. I will tell you one thing. If you look at all this armor, there's nothing to cover your backside. Because we are not meant to retreat. We go in. Jesus told Peter, I'll build you, you're the rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Gates aren't coming to me. I got to go to the gates. The battle is not, some of it's coming to you, but the battle for the rest of the world, the battle for the hearts and minds of the people around us, the people we love, we've got to go there. We've got to get a little giddy up in our steps. We've got to go make war. As we do this, the lives around us change. Not because we're strong, because God is strong. Not because we've done anything special. All we've done is be obedient and put on the gear. Put on the gear. Every day. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put the slides for this message on the website so you can see the steps. Okay? Put them on. Probably be tomorrow before I get them there, but it'll be there. Actually, all you need to do is read Ephesians. There it is. Put on the armor of God. The whole armor of God. I love a good fight. Don't you just like a good knockdown, drag-out fight? Even better when the guy wants to win wins. And you know what? I want each one of you to win. Look at me. I want you to win. Because you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for the lives of your kids. You're fighting for the lives of your family. You're fighting for the lives of your community. We're fighting for the lives of this world. I want you to win. Because when we both win, everything around us gets better. And then it becomes a multiplication table. Remember the old Fabergé Organics commercial? I told two friends, and they told two friends, and then it's all a whole bunch of these ladies with Farrah Fawcett haircuts. Make war. God, thanks. You're so good to us, God. And you give us everything we need to win every battle in our life. You're so good to us, God. You're great. Father, it's time for us to quit being 98-pound weakling Christians just stumbling through life, getting kicked all around by the devil. God, it's time for us to make war. It's time for us to make him bleed through your word as we're covered in the armor you've given us to keep us safe, the armor you've given us to allow us to advance into a battlefield and walk away unscathed, God. Everybody here, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just say it. God, I want to make war. Say it. Come on. Say it out loud with me. God, I want to make war. Father, it's time. It's time for us to put on your armor and get busy. Thanks, God. Thanks. We love you, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. I'm going to leave you one last thing. Make war. Make war this week. You gotta chop the devil up into spam. I don't even like spam. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress till